Well, welcome back. We're glad you joined us today because we got lots that we believe God wants to do in our hearts and our lives. And I love the fact that even though we can't be together in person, we can still share this time together in worship and praise to our Lord and really seek to understand as well as be read by God's word in our lives. How can we take something that was written some 2,000 plus years ago or more and see how God uses it in our lives? Because he wants to grow us up. He wants you and I to grow up in him, to come to a point where we, it's more than, when God becomes more than just a word, when we can actually share time with God and get to know him and him and he know us, and in that time, discover how he's made us, that he cares about us, and that he wants to actually work in us and through us. He loves this world, and he's designed us to flourish. He's designed us to actually just absolutely continue to grow in him, that we never are finished. We're never done. At no point do we go, check, I'm done, you know, ready to take me where you're going to take me, Lord, kind of thing. No, it's how we can learn to live out the life that we've been given, that there's this a way of living like Jesus, a way of living and loving others. And as we continue to develop our relationship with the Lord and develop and learn how to love others, it changes us, and it helps us again to rely on him. It helps us to seek the good of others. It helps us to not be focused just on ourselves. And so, yes, we are growing in him, but as we grow in him and as we begin to flourish, he then begins to use us on a regular basis. And I mean that in a way like just some, you know, there's not this relationship. It's a partnership. But here's what I found. If we don't take times to regularly connect with the Lord, to be filled up afresh by him, then we're not going to be able to serve in the way that we need to. We're not going to have what it takes. We're not going to have the strength to love, the grace under pressure. But if we can continue to learn to breathe in and breathe out his breath and let his grace, his spirit work in us and through us, then we can handle what life throws at us. We're not supposed to do it on our own. The fact that we find week in, week out, the challenges that they faced back in the day, we face today when it comes to how do we deal with those things. And we need God's pouring into us. We need God to fill us up afresh, renew us, to help us move forward. How we can love ourselves and our neighbor in showing how we love our Lord. So we've been going through a series looking at various New Testament letters. And we love the Old Testament too. We call that part one. We've been spending time in part two. We just felt led to start there. But we're going to keep going back to part two, part one and stuff back and forth. But in this, Galatians is this a great letter written by a gentleman named Paul. Paul wrote about a third of the New Testament. And in this letter, it's actually a very unique letter in that this is one of the only, in fact, this is the only letter where he does a quick shout out, a quick you know, grace and peace to you, and kind of describing who Jesus is, and then boom, gets into the letter. It's the only letter where he actually doesn't give like a thanks, prayer of thanks to say God, God is doing this in you, and we're so thankful for this, and showing no matter, even if he has really hard things to say, he always begins with a prayer of thanks, except for Galatians. Galatians is a much more defensive kind of letter. It's a letter that really challenges Paul and those who are reading it, for sure, to really consider what faith in Jesus is all about, to the point where he feels that there's a watershed moment that if he doesn't address the concern now and doesn't do it well, Christianity could actually kind of spiral out. Like there's not going to be the Jesus that we know and love, and it's just not going to go well. And so he actually ends up really having a couple big ideas throughout throughout Galatians, is talking about how to become right with God, how do we actually restore a relation, be restored in a relationship with him? How do we continue in that? And in that, you know, the challenge that you and I face is sometimes when we read some of the words in here, we just don't get some of the things they're talking about. Just not because I haven't studied it, but I mean, like when we just read it on the surface, it's just kind of like, oh, it's just about, you know, like a Jewish thing, non-Jewish thing, you know, big deal. There's a lot more going on here. In fact, to the point where I think for us, it's a big question that it's begging to be asked from reading the text, especially the first three chapters, is about how is it, what is it that we put our trust in? How do we think we have a relationship with God? Is it the church we belong to? Is it because our parents or our grandparents were Christians or really devoted? What is it that we know and believe and trust in? Or dare I say, who do we trust in? And so today we're going to just take a few moments to go through that and really try to unpack that from a Galatians perspective. But I hope and pray that you'll see how we are made right with God by trusting in Jesus. That it's not about how good you are. It's not about all the things you've done in this world. It's not about what you even know. How about them apples? It's not even about those things that you know, we might know all the things to know about God or Jesus or the church. But here's what I found is those that knew the most about Scripture were the ones who missed Jesus. Those that were the religious leaders of Jesus' day that knew this word inside and out, had memorized the Old Testament, part one, they missed it. Their knowledge wasn't enough for them. Them learning to put their trust, to surrender all, to the one that holds the universe together. And so this Jesus is unique, and there's only one like him. And so we can become right with God by trusting in him. And another key theme in Galatians is freedom in Jesus, that we find freedom in life, freedom from our past, freedom for the future, that it's not just trying to get through the day. We're not just trying to make sure that, you know, we have all the right checklist of all, you know. No, there's a power that God gives us to live and live free, that we are free indeed. And so it's a beautiful truth. And if, here's there's a treasure trove. The next four letters we're going to be going through, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. I like to say GE, Power and Company, a little mnemonic device to kind of help you maybe remember their order. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, those four are a treasure trove of spiritual truths, of great understandings, theology of who God is, who Jesus is, and why it matters in our everyday lives. So I hope you'll stay with us and dig into it. So let's just kind of give you a quick big picture view of the first part of Galatians, chapter 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 1 is all about the defense, and this is his defense of where his authority as a leader in the local church comes from, that it comes from Jesus, okay? That this Jesus is the one who called him, and there's only one gospel, and this one and only gospel of Jesus is that God was faithful in Jesus of the promise God gave Abraham. He's kept it, and now because of that, we have a relationship with God. That we can actually go to him at any time, anywhere. That nothing can get in the way of that. That there's nothing we can do, nothing we can say to make God love us any less or any more. That his love for us is complete. That he cares so deeply about us. No matter if we're having a bad day, a good day. If we're struggling maybe to get through the day, he wants to help us through that. If we're struggling with who we are, the things that maybe we've done or regrets or just not sure what to do or maybe the bad medical concerns, things come up or financial issues or jobs or places to live. There's so many things that play a part in who we are and how we live and kind of where we're at emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And God cares about that. And so chapter one is this defense of how to know that what he's about to say and how he's about to kind of unpack what the big challenge for this church, this church Galatia, in Galatia, how Jesus is so unique and how we need to really pay attention to what God did in him and through him. Chapter two is about how we're accepted that Paul is one, has been accepted as an apostle of Jesus, and a sent one. That's what that means. Apostle isn't necessarily a title. It can be referred to that in some situations, but mostly the word means sent one. Have the Heavenly Father sent Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sends the church. And so we are those sent ones too. And so here this Paul is a sent one of God to help others come to know what God did in Jesus. And so he wants to help them understand that he's been accepted by other church leaders, and how they need to accept that trusting in Jesus makes you right in him. That Jesus is sufficient. That it's not Jesus plus anything else. It's just Jesus. Another way of saying this is it's all about grace. Grace plus anything does not equal grace, does not equal life in Jesus. So anyhow, we'll keep unpacking that a little bit later. And chapter 3 is all about the promise kept. That early on in Galatians, early on in Galatians, he refers to this time in Genesis, in the beginning, where God makes a promise to Abraham. And to Abraham, he tells him that I'm going to bless the whole world through your heir, through your son. Now, Paul ends up taking that, instead of just saying that means all the Jewish people. Now, again, this is a Jewish of Jewish people, man, this guy Paul. He grew up, he lived, eat, and breathed. He was more zealous than most others. I mean, he was a who's who when it came to Jewish leader before Jesus. He's come to meet this Jesus, and he's come to be just transformed from the inside out, just a whole new person. But in that, he's discovered and discerned that, you know what, it's not about being Jewish. It's about learning that this promise was kept in Jesus, that he's the heir, that he's the son of Abraham. And because of that, now anyone and everyone can come to faith, not just if you live or if you're born Jewish, or if you convert to being Jewish, that now it's not about that. It's about learning to surrender and trust the Lord, surrender and trust Jesus. So there's a lot there. He even gives some evidence like, you know, remember when the Holy Spirit came upon you, that when you come to accept Jesus, that he gives us his Spirit, and this Spirit lives in us. He goes, it doesn't live in you because you obeyed everything, because you have a checklist, you did everything right, or you are, you know, from the Jewish family. No, it's because you trusted Jesus. You trusted in Jesus. And so it's really important that you kind of wrap your mind around that. Now, the rest of our time, we're just going to spend about another 7 to 8 minutes trying to bring it home when it comes to this one section in Galatians, chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. So it's not a long one, but the phrase, no longer I think really should help us here, because it's not about us living for ourselves anymore. It's not about us living what someone else thinks and how we should live and what we should live, but about surrendering our hearts, our lives, our hopes, our dreams, our brokenness, our regrets, all of it at the cross, that we can take it to him and surrender and live to be the person God's called us to be. This is a fun, exciting message to share, because this is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart of the good news of God in Jesus. And so I hope it connects with you. I really do. Let's jump into the text and see what the Lord does for us in our time together. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Now, just to be clear, he's already been explaining again how just faith in being a Jewish person doesn't help us have a relationship with God. It was a gift from God, this thing called the law, that they were given to observe. Covenant markers is how we would go with. How is it that we can be right with the Lord? And he's like, by keeping the law, we're in the same boat as the Gentiles. We realized, because we couldn't keep it, that we were stuck. And so now we're sinners like the non-Jews. In other words, that's what that means, Gentiles. So we're stuck in the same boat, that we're not able to keep, to observe all the law. Okay, it doesn't mean that they're trying to work their way into heaven or into a relationship. Sometimes some translations have good works. This is about observing, being Jewish in your heritage, kind of thing. Okay, so just kind of trying to be clear on that one. It goes on. So again, we're kind of in the same boat. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. not by obeying the law. Faith in, right with God. He's making a bold statement here. He's trying to lay it out there. It's not who's your family, where you come from. It's not who you know when it comes to connections. It's about trusting in this Jesus, who again provides us with the grace to be accepted and the power to then live. That we're made right not by obeying the law, not by being Jewish, no. For Paul, it's about being, this is either Jesus is sufficient or the law is sufficient. And so he's trying to help them, you know, wrestle with it. And he goes through time and time again with, you know, hey, when I was with the Jewish council, the Jerusalem council, early on in my days of ministry, they said everything was good, that I was keep on doing what we're doing, that what I had learned from from Jesus was correct. In fact, they said, you know, remember the poor. Keep serving them as well, in addition to what you're teaching and stuff. So it was, I mean, how he understood who Jesus was and what it meant for the Jewish faith and moving on, this is a big deal, because what it comes down to is if we're to follow God, if we're to have a relationship with Jesus, there's a group of people in this church that are saying, well, you have to still be Jewish, though. Anyone can come to Jesus and by faith, but you also need to be Jewish. In short, just kind of give you what that would look like for today. Today, that would mean surgery for most people. Okay, for a lot of people, have you been circumcised or not? You know, I'd love to have that on the little form that people would fill out when they were ready to join the church. So he's like, listen, do they have to have surgery to have a covenant marker, something that says, yes, I'm part of the Jewish family? Or can they just trust in Jesus? And the Jerusalem Council agreed, nope, they don't have to do that. It's about trusting in Jesus. What God accomplished in Jesus is enough. And so it's not Jesus, it's not Jesus and anything, it's just Jesus. I continue, and we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God. So he's talking about, first he's kind of giving this hypothetical, people don't have to. And then he's like, and we didn't either. We've been made right with God because of our faith in Christ. He's like, example, case in point, and now I'm going to show you this is our lives, and we're seeing this happen in our own lives. Not because we have obeyed the law, but because, again, of our faith in Christ. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. Now, I know he sounds like, why is he repeating himself? He is, but he's trying to really stress with this church family, listen, this is a big deal. You can't just add something else to what Jesus has done. It's enough. And in fact, it's going to confuse people and could actually divide what God's been doing of uniting this new family together. That, okay, we have a Gentile family and then we have a Jewish family. He's like, no, this is, we're one in him kind of thing. The text goes on, but suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ. And then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. So they're basically saying, so he's trying to play out the argument that has been presented to him. Like, okay, so say we have trust in Jesus, and now we've abandoned the law. What does that mean? Because he's trying to help them understand, listen, I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to say it's grace and law, Jesus and observance, being Jewish kind of thing, right? And he's like, listen, they're basically saying you were misunderstanding what was taught to you. And so he's trying to reiterate their argument so that he can be crystal clear. No, I'm not misunderstanding. I didn't mess this up. He's like, no, I know exactly what this means. And so he's trying to lay it out there. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? So he's like saying, look, if what they what I learned from Jesus and the Jerusalem Council agreed with, that we only need Jesus and that's it when it comes to starting and beginning a relationship with Jesus, then does that mean that because we've abandoned the law that now we're sinning even more? Like now Christ, the Messiah, has led us into this? It's like, absolutely not. Remember, rather, I'm a sinner if I rebuild the old system, the old way of living, in other words, of the law I already tore down. Like he's like saying, listen, if we go back to the old way, we're trying to, again, add this thing up. And it's more about us and what we can kind of tally and figure out and kind of say, oh, if we do all this, then... He's like, no, it's not that at all. It's not that at all. It's about simply surrendering and trusting in our Lord and Savior. Again, this old way of living that keeps coming back in our lives. Text continues, "For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. It showed me how much I need rescue," in other words. "So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God." What would it look like in your life if you weren't trying to live out your parents' dream? You weren't trying to live to someone else's expectations, but you were just trying to be the person God created you to be. To lean in and breathe in the freedom that gives you. To embrace all that God has for you. To live for Him. To glorify Him in every area of your life. To be mindful and partnering and celebrating with Him in every area. The text is going to wrap up here, but it says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." No longer I, that the old way of living, the old way of being Jewish, and the old way of trying to live up to someone else's ideas and dreams is done. It's about living it with Christ, in Christ, because Christ is in me. "So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." What a beautiful truth that we should all hold on to. We should all memorize this part. The part that I kind of focused in on is they're trusting in and not just knowing about. There's a lot of people I run into in the world that know about church, know about Jesus, know about God, and yet they're missing out on what God wants to have in their life, a relationship. He wants them to know more than just about Him, but to know Him and to be known by Him. And that can happen. "I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless." No, he says, "I trust in Christ." Like, that's what it's all about. "For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die." That we talked about last week, if you were with us, that we need to learn that His grace is enough. It's sufficient. Well, today I feel like the text is shouting out, His grace is enough. That we have access to God. We have a relationship with Him. All we have to do is surrender. Be vulnerable. Be open. In the next few moments, we're going to take some time to pray, to celebrate the Lord. But when we come back for the final word of the benediction, I pray and hope that it really will land home for you something special that God has for all of us today. I just really have a big question for you. What does grace mean? Sometimes people refer to grace as something you do before a meal, and that's one use of the word. But biblically speaking, grace is something that we can't earn. We can't control it. We can't, this relationship with God, we can't manipulate it. We can't earn it. In fact, we can't direct it. Good news is we can't lose it. That's an amen. But grace leaves us powerless. That's kind of crazy. Powerless of our performance, of whatever we've achieved in life. It's not about us. It's about Him and what God's accomplished for us. And so I just want to encourage you, these three words to kind of help you think it through. Where do you need to surrender to God's grace? And sometimes we can just think it's all about what we have to do or what we have to accomplish. And the good news is it's about what God's doing. And again, He gives the grace, the strength, the direction, and everything we need for each moment we go through. So where do we need to surrender? And what about, how do we need to be more vulnerable to Him? How do we need to trust Him with those areas in our lives we're just not sure what to do? Again, whether it be the future, whether it be a regret in the past, whether it be our current context, whatever it may be, how can we trust Him, trust in Him, not just know about Him, but learn to trust in His grace and His goodness? We have some homework next week, and it's not hard. We're just going to wrap up this letter, short letter, chapters 4, 5, and 6 of Galatians, okay? And so I hope it'll encourage you, hope it'll help you, and just discern again what God has for us as a church and what it means to follow Him more faithfully. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there, and he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we hope to see you next week. And happy Father's Day.